Let's talk about it.
Hello and welcome back to Thick Radio, the podcast where we talk about gaming, feedism, and everything in their orbit. I'm James.
And I'm Tim, so let's get into it. Today we're welcoming back to the show one of our good friends. Today we've got Feed Me Daddy back on the show.
Hi everyone, I'm so excited to be back.
Hello, welcome back, how are you?
I'm good. It's weird going into this winter season, like it's dark outside and only 4 p.m., but...
Yeah, it's funny. I'm sure I've expressed this before on the podcast. Growing up in the Southern Hemisphere, obviously, like, winter nights are longer, etc., etc., but it isn't quite such the extreme as it is here.
Really?
Like, I think nighttime in the summer hits about 9, 10 o'clock, but in the winter it hits about 6, maybe even 7 o'clock. So, like, it still hits at, like, what you would presume to be evening hours. Not this... middle of the afternoon foolishness, and I feel like this year in particular I'm actually feeling sluggish, like, yeah. Dusk is happening at 3:30 and I am fully like yawning, ready for bed. I'm thinking to myself, God, I've been up for hours, I'm ready to get an early night. I look at the time, it's like 7 o'clock, and I'm like, what the fuck is this hibernation vibe that's happening? I mean, Tim,
yeah,
I've said this before, like, do you call it a polar vortex? What is it? We're
Cleveland? Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know how many states it affects, but because, like, so Cleveland is right across the lake from Canada, and every year, usually twice a year, they have, like, they call it the polar vortex. Apparently, a lot of, like, super cold air gets pulled down from the North Pole, and, like, I don't know how many states it spreads across, but, like, the temperatures will plummet into the teens or sometimes the negatives. Like, I think right now it's about 25 Fahrenheit, and Cleveland just got buried under like 6 inches of snow. So
yeah, I just saw some snow this morning too.
Yeah, thankfully I was on my way home from work when it hit, so like it took me longer to get home, but at least I wasn't trying to get to work and all that bullshit.
Well, I think as we are all indoors on this chilly, chilly type of day, I think it is a perfect time to gather around the fire with far too many snacks and talk a little salaciously, perhaps we could say, about maybe a bit of the dating experience. And we're not going to presume nothing about what you've been up to, girly, but you know what? We're going to ask some questions. I think we're going to do a little bit of digging today. So listen, are you ready to get into it?
I am, and I'm definitely sure that people will be curious because it's something that comes up a lot.
Well, I mean, you know, to kind of kick it off, maybe, like, as a non-fetist myself, obviously it's like, and our whole thing is like, it's very like Aladdin, right? Like outside looking in, like peering around the corner, like what's happening on that side of the fence. And I do feel like what I see happening a lot is whether people are looking for relationships or dalliances or not, it definitely feels like there is a lot of pursuit of relationships specifically on the fetist side of the fence. Do you feel like that's about right?
Yeah, definitely from my experience. I'm just trying to think of it in context of maybe even like BDSM or like dynamics or stuff, that people definitely are looking to have like a dynamic with somebody of like, you're my feeder or you're my feedie. And that's sometimes where the confusion comes up too, because whether they actually want to date the person or if they're not even sure what they want in like the exchange, if they want it to just be like strictly feederism stuff, like, okay, like strictly sexual, whatever. And then not a relationship. But I also feel like sometimes people have a hard time communicating that because they don't even know themselves. But definitely looking for that dynamic, which to me means dating, and looking for a relationship like that. But to other people, it might not be, if that makes sense.
I think it does. I think we often kind of touch on this when we dabble onto the dating side of things, Tim. You know, I think there's oftentimes this, I don't know if it's a confusion, because I don't know how much of it's intentional, is my life, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying like it's intentional necessarily, but
no, absolutely. But like there's certainly this moment where it kind of feels like people will say, oh, maybe I'm looking for a boyfriend. Maybe I'm looking for something more committed. But then you kind of maybe look at what they're going after and you're a bit like, that don't look like no relationship to me. That just looks like having a bit of fun, which obviously there's nothing wrong with any of that. We would never kink shame here, but I think it is interesting that it seems to me to be a relatively common occurrence that people maybe cross the lines or blur the lines rather between like what is meant to be a typical relationship and then this idea of like a kinky situation. And they're not necessarily the same thing. I think you can have both. And I think you can have a kinky relationship, but I do think there is a solid case of people confusing one thing for the other. Tim, what about you? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know, because I feel like when I was like fresh out of my marriage, right, and I was out there in the dating pool, I kind of found like the opposite. I found that more people just wanted a no strings attached good time kind of situation and were not looking for any kind of commitment, which was fine because neither was I. But even in that context, they could be very sketchy about confirming anything, you know, like, and I'm talking about people like on Grommr and in the community and things like that. They'd be like, oh, I'd love to do this and that with you. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm open, pick a time. And then like nothing would happen. And that, you know, you'd kind of have to pester them to finally get them to like commit to something. So even though the experiences I had were kind of like sporadic and spaced apart, it was pretty obvious that nobody wanted something serious at that moment.
Yeah, and maybe I'm just going into it because I'm looking for more of a relationship. So that's kind of the lens of where I'm seeing it. But I do think it's a lot different than like meeting people through Phoebe or online, like wherever it may be, is a lot different than like my friends, if they just go on Hinge or something and meet people to date, because like they know that both of their intentions are pretty much the same. I mean, you can be like, do you want to hook up? Or but like most people go on there, either they're like, okay, I'm here to hook up, or like they're looking to like date somebody and have a relationship, versus like navigating the online space of like feederism. It can be kind of hard sometimes, and you have to be more, I guess, communicate more your intentions of like, I'm actually looking for this, like, or whatever. Because sometimes it can be not as clear. So
I guess I should clarify that aside from like the random people that wanted to hook up and not for something serious, I guess some of them must have been, because at one point I was juggling five guys trying to date all five of them.
You had a whole restaurant.
And I was, some of them were in the community, some of them weren't. And, but I think, you know, just with my years on earth, I knew which ones, I knew what was going to go where and when. And I was like, a few of these can drop off because I know it's not going to really go anywhere. And then I, you know, picked Matt. So there we are.
Well, I think it's good to know, I mean, it's good to know what you want. Like you say, based on your experiences, Tim, you had an idea of being able to say, oh, I know typically where this is going to go. I get this sense from this person. I've been down this road before. And I know sometimes when it comes to dating, we can get quite worn out by running into certain archetypes over and over again. But there is a familiarity that comes from running into certain same people. And I do think it does help to cut people, not say cut people down like, you know, we're being negative, but, you know, if you know that there's like a certain archetype of person that you don't necessarily get on with, you're not necessarily going to know that until you get to the date. You're on the date. 5 minutes in, you work out, oh, this is this type of
sometimes
guy.
Less.
Sometimes less. I'm going to decide here not to invest any further. And, you know, maybe out of respect, maybe, or, you know, the situation, whatever, you know, you sort of see it through and you're just like, well, the time is lovely. You know, we'll see if anything happens again. You move forward. But I think there is a usefulness to knowing that. Sometimes people are like, I don't know, I don't know what I'm looking for. I think it can be just as helpful to know what you're not looking for, because actually we can use that to screen against certain people. Mm-hmm. And when you come across someone who doesn't hit against any of the red flags, you kind of go like, ah, maybe this I will take forward to a second date and just see what happens. I mean, if I can ask you here, like, can you give us a bit of a brief rundown of your dating history, like Civilian, Dana Fita, all of that. Give us a snapshot.
Okay. Well, I was in a 7+ year relationship. I was actually married before, which is like, I don't know if something people would expect from me because I'm like younger. But I was with that person for a long time. They knew about feederism and they were like totally fine to watch videos with me or like say whatever I wanted to. But I guess I never really explored it more than that. We would kind of just like watch a video, I would get off, and then like, okay, let's like have sex. I never thought about it more of like having an actual relationship and like doing things with people in person. It was more just like something I watched and got off to, but didn't like think about much. So after that relationship ended, we just weren't very compatible sexually and just other things. But that was like a big point of contention. I was like, I want to just like try out different things. I want to like have threesomes. I want to just explore whatever. So I matched with somebody on a dating app, just like a regular dating app about having like a threesome or something. And it turned out that her boyfriend was into feederism and made content and stuff. And I totally didn't know that like before or anything. And we just started talking and we're like, holy shit, we're both into the same thing. And like he already made content. So then that's how I kind of got into making content. And obviously, I'm not in that relationship anymore. Like a lot of good things came out of it. And it's kind of crazy how like the universe pushes you in certain directions. Like I'm not a religious person, but like I also believe in like karma and like things happen for a reason. Like the it's just so crazy how like my life was at such a pivotal point of like leaving this relationship and kind of discovering myself and then meeting somebody who like literally lives in my same town and like is into the same thing just out of happenstance that we met and like talked about it and whatever. And now my life has like totally changed in this direction of like making content, meeting people in the community and like figuring out that this is something that I want in a relationship. And it's kind of crazy that that just like happened by coincidence.
That's
So that's,
what we call serendipity.
yeah,
Yeah.
it's wild. So I guess the gods wanted me to be fat.
I mean, and who are we to deny the will of the gods, you know? I mean, for the people maybe watching this a little later on, if you can see, there's like a single shaft of heavenly light descending across her right now. I mean, this is ordained. This is spirit right here. But I love hearing that story. And I'm sure Tim, you know, you yourself have been married before, and I'm sure you can share your experiences here as well. But you know, I think there's a really firm theme here of you're in a situation, and as you say, you're a bit of a younger person, but doing, I guess, the typical het normative thing, right? Like being a person who gets married and trying to live that life, and it doesn't pan out, and then you know that you're looking to experience new things. You're looking to experience something that is more aligned with who you are on the inside. And then you go and you find it. And then look at where you are now. Look at the body journey you've been on. Look at the experiences you've gotten to have. You know, I very much agree. I'm not much of a spiritual person myself these days, but I'm very much the rule of three type of person. Like if I see three things in a row, I'm like, oh, someone up there in the heavens trying to tell me something. I'm pay attention. And I don't know. I just think that's a great thing to have happened, that you were not only willing to put yourself out there, but you were receptive to it when it came your way. And again, I want to jump to Tim here in a moment to speak to his own experiences with marriage. But I mean, something I kind of ponder with certain people when it comes to, oh, I'm looking to experience this, but I don't know how to find it, or I don't know how to get into it. I feel like sometimes people put natural roadblocks up for themselves, right? Like people might say, oh, I'm looking to find someone who's into this same thing. But then, if they came across it, they wouldn't know what to do with themselves. And so they might make an excuse to shy away from it. When it comes to your own dating experiences and engaging with people on the fetish side of the fence, do you encounter that very often?
Like people kind of are all talk but then don't want to do anything, do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, so I guess it's twofold, because there's one of like my job or whatever of like being a creator and interacting with people, and obviously like that's part of the gig of like I'm here to help you get off and like engage in your fantasies and whatever, which is fine, and like I'm not like considering that, okay, like, yeah, like we're just talking about it sexually, whatever. But when it comes to like meeting people on Phoebe, which I consider more of like a dating website or hookup website or whatever. Yeah, sometimes, I don't know, it's hard to say. I think that relates a lot more to the people that I've met that I guess they want to have this thing and they're like really into feederism stuff, but then they end up having a relationship with a vanilla person. And like, not to characterize anybody's relationship, but it's just like a pattern I see happen a lot. And then they'll like go behind their partner's back and they want to like keep interacting with you. And I don't know if they just like don't know themselves or what they want, because they know that they're into it, but then they keep engaging with these vanilla people or whatever. And I just know the feeling of like when I was in my relationship before and not feeling like sexually satisfied and like how bad it felt, and also like how it negatively affected my partner because he like didn't feel like I loved him or he was like good enough or whatever. And then me like wondering what's wrong with me, like why don't I like sex, why don't I like feel this way about this person, and then like knowing that they're feeling that way but they're just I guess choosing to be in those relationships, I don't know. But yeah, and then what Tim said earlier about just not like people are flaky about making plans too, but I feel like that's just like anybody.
I think the detachment is what gives them, you know, the I guess maybe the freedom or the license to be like that, is like, well, you know, they kind of, I don't want to say that they don't look at you as a real person, but in a way they don't, you know, because you're just an image on a screen. So it's like, well, it doesn't matter if I disappoint this person because I don't know them. I'm most likely not going to run into them at any point. You know, which I find kind of ironic about Cleveland specifically. I'm going to talk about the Cleveland gainer scene because it's not that big, but also Cleveland is really not that big. And there's only certain places that people ever want to go in the city. And I'm surprised that I never run into any of these people at any of the nightclubs or any of the bars that we have left. I guess they're just not people that go out drinking, but I never run into anybody. And I'm always so surprised by that. And on very, very rare occasions, someone who's from out of town will like come to visit family or whatever, and they'll just happen to be out when I'm out. And that's the kind of person who then comes up to me and goes, oh, hey, are you so-and-so from Grommer? I'm like, yes. Why can't I get the locals to do this?
It's interesting. And I think this is something we often come back to, like when we talk about dating, but also when we talk about like events and like meeting new people. It is that line of people can be all talk, right? But like we're here on this podcast right now. Each of us, like Feedy, Gainer, like if we say that word out of the mouth, Gainer, like there are people in these spaces who, even if they are that thing, they could have gained 500 pounds, bitch. They had never said that word with their own lips and tongue and teeth. They'd never said it out loud before. And if they did, they would faint from shock that they had actually admitted it to themselves. Yeah. Like there is a real thing, a delineation of people accepting it as a very real part of themselves. And like when you consider there's that, plus this disconnect, and it's like you have to meet people from online and people have these expectations, which we've talked about this before, like it's kind of silly to have expectations. Like don't go in with expectations, like go in like potentially making a friend, right? Like that should really be the frame of mind. Like I don't know you. That what's that King of the Hill reference, like that's my purse, I don't know you. Like I don't know you, like, but I need to get to know you and figure out if we're gonna be anything, let alone more. But Tim, to circle around to you here, because you know you have expressed on the pod before about you know your previous marriage, and I would love it if you could share with the listeners, you know, from your experience, like how relationally things shifted for you, like once you came out of that active relationship, that marriage you were in, and started to actively engage with, you know, repartee with people within the community. What was that shift like?
That was a godsend. It was a lifesaver when I needed it because my marriage had been so toxic. And, you know, he'd been so manipulative and abusive and all this other shit. And I was so glad to finally be free of him. And, you know, if I'm going to be honest, the relationship had ended a couple of years before I finally called it quits. You know, I had emotionally moved on quite a bit before I finally said, look, you got to go. So being able to be out and it'd be completely out at that point, you know, like because. Yeah, he knew that I was a gainer and he didn't like it, but fuck him. I wasn't with him anymore. So now I could be open about being a gainer. I didn't give a shit who knew anymore because, like I said, the older you get, the less you care what people think of you. And I had finally gotten to the point where I'm like, I don't give a flying fuck what you think of me. I'm gonna live my life any goddamn way I want to. So like the meetups that I would start to have with people or the events I would go to, like I went to a couple of Grom Offs, then I did the Grom of the Seas, obviously. So like this, it was liberating. It was like I am free to be exactly who I am. And I know that this is something that is difficult to obtain for most people. Like insecurity and fear and self-loathing will hold you back. But I promise you guys, once you shed it, oh my God, like when you just stop giving a fuck what other people are going to say or think, or, you know, if they're going to look at you funny, you go, what? What are you looking at? Take a picture. You know, like just don't give a fuck what they think because that's often what's holding everyone back.
And I agree about like how a lot of people haven't even like talked about this stuff out loud, because even like me having experience with my ex of like 7 years, where obviously like I've talked about it with him and whatever, even when I met this person in real life and they're like, oh, I'm into it, and they're just casually talking about these things, I remember in the beginning I was like, I don't even know how to talk about this with somebody. Why are you just like casually talking about this? Like, we're not having sex. Like, and you're just talking about this. And like, it kind of was a little bit of an adjustment. So I can kind of relate to like people feeling like that, especially I think if like I was the person who had to initiate it, like I was kind of forced into the situation because I met somebody and they were comfortable talking about it. And it kind of went from there. But like, if I was the person trying to introduce it to somebody else and I didn't have that previous experience of like talking about it with other people, I think I would be like,
I mean, you
insane.
kind of train yourself into believing that it's your dirty little secret and that
Yes.
you
Yeah.
always have to keep it your dirty little secret because nobody will ever understand it. And then I don't know, I guess a point of clarity comes where you're like, well, if somebody really has that big of a problem with it, why the fuck would I be talking to them in the first place?
I mean, I'm gonna reference a previous episode you were on, where you had said like you saw like it was a tweet or something where like life's too short, date within your kink. And honestly, that's tea. Like, yes, we've talked about that before, but it bears repeating. Life is too short, and like you do reach a point where like you become so aware of yourself and so confident and comfortable in your own sense of sexuality that like when you see people on in like the dating space, you're like, I don't know how to deal, like you just switch off completely. You're just like, I don't care. Like I've done the personal growth, I've done the physical growth, I've done the journey, like I've overcome my trauma. Now you need to go do that. I'm out here looking for people that are on my wavelength, people who've already done the work and caught up, plain and simple. Now I know you mentioned like some of those key differences, right, between like that previous relationship and like those sort of engagements you've had before, where there is that greater sense of like self-fulfillment, obviously, because you're engaging with people who get it, and like you kind of get the opportunity to start to learn about yourself a little bit more, ways that you only get to do when you start to engage with people who really can kind of get you on a sexual level, which I think is wonderful. But I want to ask you, like, because you've obviously done some like bits and pieces with other people now, what do you feel is like the biggest misconception about these types of engagements that maybe people don't realize?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know what like other people think are misconceptions. Maybe that it's like not as scary as you're thinking or whatever. I mean, that's just normal with a date too, is you are so nervous beforehand and then you meet the person and you're like, I don't know why I was so nervous. So I don't know if people have like high expectations that things are going to be crazy and they're going to be feeding me like 10 pizzas or whatever. And it's just us going out to dinner and like having a normal conversation and then maybe talking about like some kink stuff here and there, but like really just like getting to know each other and then seeing like what the vibe is. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, you know, I think I got to agree with you. Like, the biggest misconception is just how often it happens, right? Like, we've actually got a listener question, which is like regular fetus sex. Is that all it's cracked up to be? And I think that's almost the realization, right? Like, it's not that regular. Like, again, we do this thing where we project this expectation of cishet normativity. Oh, a couple's going to be fucking every other day, so therefore they're going to be feeding each other every other day. Nah, not really. Like, most times I get to have like a one-on-one with a gainer or a feedie, like we just get coffee. Like, yeah. It's more of a social moment for us to like talk about things freely and openly with someone who gets it, or not even talk about that at all. Just like talk about whatever other mutual interests we have, like with my friend, but we have that shared interest. And the whole point is like, I just need to be around another person today. Another person who gets this part of me, because like, baby, I'm in the mood to go for like coffee and cake at like this really nice lush, like there's a dessert place in London called Leto, which I love. And I take all the chunks there and it's wonderful. But I've actually tried to invite like non-fetist, non-gainer friends before. They look at the menu and they're like, oh my gosh, this is like so much, like all it is cake, like cake and tea and coffee. And I'm sat here like, bitch, if I just invited a chunk to go with me, like they would not be criticizing this at all. They would come and experience the mille feuilles. They'd be experiencing the flan and the cake and the cream and the pastries. They would do all that with me. And it doesn't need to be a whole hoo-ha to do. I just want to eat cake. But I think you're absolutely right. That misconception of like regularity. And when you do have it, like, what do you even do? Like, I don't know. For me, it's more being sociable. What about you, Tim?
I think part of the reason why the misconception comes up, I mean, like what I observe from, say, like the Instagram gainer community, is you do see a lot of collaborations and meetups. You know, they are happening quite often now. And even people who may not necessarily be in like a live-in relationship with a feeder, you know, they're being sponsored by a feeder long distance or whatever. So, you know, they're able to have the money and the means to stuff themselves often. And I think because we keep seeing that, and a lot of those accounts are extremely popular, people have gotten the idea that this is how it's always supposed to be, you know. And like when you, James, you said when you meet up with some gainers or feeders or whatever, and it's just like a social thing, you're getting coffee, you're getting a drink, you're getting a meal together. Not all situations are conducive to having someone come to your house and or go to their house. And, you know, sometimes you're not going to have the equipment that you might want. Like, say the person really wants to funnel feed you, but, you know, you don't really have one yet. And he doesn't have one either. You know, it's like you kind of have to make do with what you got. And if the circumstance doesn't really lend itself to a more private and intimate setting, sometimes you just have to go and do something simple. Get coffee, get lunch, get brunch, whatever. And that can still be a great experience, because even though you might not be having sexy time like you may have wanted, you're at the very least able to sit down with someone else who understands you on this particular wavelength. They're not going to judge you for it, and you can talk openly and freely about it.
Something I'm curious to ask about here, and this is just personal to your experience, do you feel like getting to engage in these kind of gainer fetus relationships have helped your growing journey, or have they maybe hindered it, put up some roadblocks for you?
Definitely helped. I was gonna say I have more friends in the community than people I've ever met to like have a relationship with or be sexual, like just other creators or my one really good friend who I met from Phoebe just as friends. But you were saying, does it help it? I think definitely it helps being involved in the community. I just think about if I would be like gaining now, but not connected with anybody else and kind of in the place where I was before, where I was just consuming content online and then like logging out, clearing history, putting it away. I feel like there would be more shame and maybe like a little bit more insecurity. I would hope not, because I really like how I look now and like feel very confident in myself, but it helps that other people around me like have the same feelings. So if I were to ever be like self-conscious or whatever, and be able to like have the community to like realize that like, okay, now I'm just being silly or whatever, like, because everybody has those moments where they're like, oh, I don't think I look the best or X, Y, and Z. So it's good to have other people to like support you, or you can see and be like, no, like they're hot, I'm hot, like this is great.
I like that. I almost feel like, ironically, I do think there is a sort of vanilla comparison, which is where I think in a lot of adult communities, people forget to invest in friendships and they invest just in their partner. And you find that where people only have friends that are couple friends, or they find that they lose touch with their friends and they only adopt the friends of their partner. And so people tend to lose themselves a little bit in a relationship, which I do think is unhealthy. Like, I think we've kind of moved far along enough in the world where we can acknowledge that, like, as adults, even if you have a relationship, even if you have children, marriage, all this going on, you should have hobbies, friends that are explicitly separate to that familial environment. Even if they know your partner and children, even if they're involved in events sometimes, like, just coffee with people, socials with people, playing sports, like, doing whatever it is. I think those things are very, very important and help people to remain grounded in what they're experiencing in life, because sometimes you need a second opinion, sometimes you need an external perspective, and sometimes you just need the chance to take a breath and step away from this very involved situation you're in. And I think gaining in feedism is no different. To have friends that you can invest in and seek counsel with, people who you can debrief and just relax with, I think is very, very critical to the gaining experience, both for us as individuals doing the journey in general, but also potentially within relationships, you know? I'm curious, like, I want to ask, like, what do you think the role of social media plays in here? Because obviously, like, there is, like you mentioned, Phoebe, and I know there's Fantasy Feeder, and like there's also Curvage and stuff at DB and like all these other places where people can really promote themselves. I don't know that I'd call that like social media necessarily, because I feel like those are specific platforms, you know what I mean? Versus social media, where I think it's like Twitter, Instagram, and, you know, all these places where people are now kind of doing more of that social kind of gain of feeders posting. Do you feel like the social media aspect of things is like a helpful element to potentially finding dates or developing community? Or again, do you think like maybe there's a bit of a hindrance to it, or maybe it muddies the waters a little bit?
I think it's helpful. It definitely makes it like more normalized if you're going onto Instagram or Twitter and like seeing posts from other people who have like similar interests to you. It's like, okay, like this is something like, I don't know, it doesn't feel as taboo or like your like little secret or whatever. As for meeting people, I don't know if I've ever met anybody strictly from like social media. I'm thinking like Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter. Like if I met them originally through there, I've met some people through OnlyFans, but I don't know if through like regular social media. I guess it's maybe harder to navigate the situation of like me being a creator, and there's like a power imbalance too of like, oh, I'm following you, I like your content, and it being like we're not both going into it like from the same place. So I feel like I wouldn't really want to, I guess, interact or meet up with certain people because they're like, oh my god, I love your content, I want to feed you, blah 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 blah. and it just like is a lot. And then it's like kind of more not seeing me as like a human person and more just like somebody behind a screen. I like that, like on Phoebe and stuff. It's like, even if everybody doesn't really know their intentions, at least it, I treat it more like a dating app or like a meeting friends app or whatever, where it's like, okay, we're all on here mainly because we want to like do stuff in person, or at least most people are. Like, there's a little bit more common ground than like trying to seek out people that like follow me on social media, where I'm more kind of like trying to promote my like content and videos and stuff, if that makes sense.
No, that definitely makes sense. I mean, there's also something that I've experienced a little bit of recently that it's a bit awkward to talk about. But I think it is important to talk about. Like, because I will post content similarly to everyone else, bellies out, butts out, chub is out, right? Like, I'm showing people that I'm growing and that I'm feeling great in my body. And obviously, I do this to elicit a response because I want people to engage, and I do like being found sexy because I think what I'm doing is sexy. It's nice to know that other people think the same. It makes me feel good. But there's also something to be said that even if we're mutuals, even if we're both posting content, and like, I'll double tap, I'll love and I'll support and I'll give confidence and, all this. But then there becomes this expectation of sex where some people are like, oh, well, because we're mutuals, we're gonna do this. And I'm a bit like, not necessarily. Like, I can absolutely appreciate your growth and journey because I think we should all be doing that for one another. But it's kind of the same argument as like, just because two guys are gay doesn't mean they're gonna like each other and wanna have sex. Just because you like bigger people doesn't mean that you're going to be sexually attracted to every other big person, right? And sometimes that's the conversation where it's like, again, we're having to kind of decouple the expectation of like, there's some kind of virtual connective element that people expect will translate into something. It doesn't necessarily, right? And I think sometimes people can feel a bit put off by that. But also, like, I know I'm not attracted to everyone. So I feel like it also makes sense that I wouldn't expect people to be attracted to me and vice versa. And like, if you converse and it's natural and it makes sense, great. But again, I think sometimes people have this layered expectation, and sometimes it's very difficult to like extract yourself from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think maybe it's because we're coming from a little bit different points, where a lot of the people in my space who are posting content are people who are straight. So it's more of like girl power. Like, when I'm collabing with people, it's like more just we're friends and like a business transaction. And a lot of them are like my good friends and stuff, but it's not anything where like, okay, like, ooh, maybe I'm gonna have a relationship with this person, or maybe we're gonna have sex or whatever. It's more just like, yes, like girl power, like you look so hot, whatever. But there's never any kind of, oh, is she like trying to flirt with me, or anything like that. So it's like a little bit different. Like, the people who are like people who would message me and like want to do those things are people who like don't really post on social media. So they're just gonna like message from their regular account, or maybe they just have an account with like no pictures or something. So it's harder to suss out. But if I ever, rarely, but if it happens where it's like a straight guy or like bisexual guy that posts content and is online, like that's great, because like, okay, like we're both kind of posting content and stuff, and but it's like rare to find that.
I mean, I suppose that's ultimately one of those big separations of the gaining and fetus side of things, right? Like, this is something very typical in same-sex circles where people will often say things like, when I look at a guy and I feel something, I'm sometimes confused. Like, do I want to have sex with you or do I want to be you? Like, do I want to have your cock in my mouth or do I want to have your hand in mine in friendship? Like, and you would think, like, maybe when you're a teenager in your early 20s, yeah, like, sometimes you cross wires. Like, oh, I just liked you as a friend. I didn't realize that until we had sex for the 15th time. But, like, actually, it continues as you grow. Like, you do sometimes cross those wires still. But I think that's why we have these episodes, because it's good to know, like, where those differences are intrinsically. And I don't know, maybe there's an element of where, like, queer and straight people need to, like, be more co-supportive of each other in those types of moments, to be like, we're outside of that narrative, so we can kind of, like, see it for what it is. And then it could be like, oh yeah, I see what's going on here. Allow me to verify what your suspicions are, or allow me to challenge you if you're maybe getting those wires crossed as well, type of thing. You know what I'm saying? I know I've asked, like, what the biggest misconception is. I want to ask you, like, what has been the biggest surprise in actively engaging with people, gayness and fetists, in this kind of intimate context?
I guess it's always, I don't know if the word surprising, but unexpected, I guess, from when I was, like, consuming content before and not very, like, open with feederism stuff, compared to now, is like how many people you meet that are just normal people that you wouldn't even, like, think are into it. And we're just, like, hanging out, like, doing normal things, and, like, you wouldn't even know that, like, this is how we know each other, whatever.
I mean, Tim, what about for you, speaking from the gaining side of things, like, what was the biggest surprise for you when you actually started to meet up with people in a more, like, committed, gaining kind of a context?
Two things. Some people are not as experienced as they let on, and are not always the most skillful when it comes to doing the actual deed. And two, the friendships I've made, the people that we've had on the show, you know, people that I've met in person, some of the hottest fucking people I've ever met, you know, and I am, you know, a friend of theirs now. And it's like, it's just, and, you know, like, I think, I don't know if I ever said this on the pod, but I know I definitely talked to you about this when we were first forming this idea of creating this product. And you had mentioned, like, oh, well, what about some of the most popular people on Grom or Instagram? Like, what do you, and I had said to you, I don't know, do I have the right to approach these people? Like, who am I? I'm nobody. Like, you know, being so starstruck about it, and then, you know, you being like, well, yeah, they're a person, just fucking talk to them. Novel concept, I know, but, like, that's the people that I've gotten to know now, the conversations I've had, the friendships I've made, like, it's all been a huge, like, I didn't think that was gonna happen, you know. I kind of always thought, yeah, I'll just be around and maybe occasionally meet up with somebody, but nobody's gonna know who the hell I am and no one's gonna care, you know. So
yeah, it's crazy, the friendships and, like, the community, and just, like, discovering so much more about yourself and, like, what you want in relationships and just, like, your life in general too. It definitely, like, opened a door. Like I was saying before, my life, like, pivoted from being with somebody for so long to now, like, creating content and being so involved in this thing that I've always really liked. And it's just crazy, like, yeah, just, like, the 360 of it all.
And I know we've touched on that already this episode, like, just the way in which your life changes, both, yes, your physicality, and we get that, but also just, like, the quality of life. Like, you didn't know that you were missing out on these things until you have them, and then when you have them, you're like, why would I ever step away from this? This is fantastic.
I was going to say one other thing is the bravery, because thinking back on it, like, the first time that I co-hosted that gaining and encouraging class at Claw with my friend from Indiana, and, like, I was the one to be on display. Like, he's much more of a feeder and encourager than he is a gainer. So, like, I was the display item. And to be, you know, sitting in a room with, and, like, so I think the last time we did it, there were about 25 people in the room. So to be in a room with, like, 25 people I don't know, sitting there in the middle, get his shirts off, gut is hanging out on, you know, prominently on display, and then to be funnel fed in front of a bunch of strangers was like, I didn't think I would do that. And then to recreate it when I went on that gaining camp, that camping weekend, you know, and now there were even more people that didn't know anything about it who just were wandering in and out and watching this, and like, and I was totally fine with it. Never thought I'd be that person.
Yeah, I think I know we talk a lot about the, like I said, the surprise, the transformation, the difference, but I think that really is the kind of big takeaway from a lot of this, right? Like it's almost the conversation about dating, it's almost like, well, how do I have it? But it's not even about having it. It's like just getting in the right position to have it will change your life so much that you'll realize that in order to achieve it, you'll achieve it the exact same way you'd achieve a good relationship outside of this, which is just to be your authentic self. Meet people, have connections. Like dating in general is not about finding someone to complete you. Like that's a really toxic way to approach the concept of a partner. Like, oh, they complete me. Like, nah, honey. Because when you divorce or break up or they die, like, what does that mean? Like, you're a broken. Like, no, you're not. You're still a whole person. If anything, a partner adds to that. So if you're operating at 100, you get yourself a fantastic partner, you get to operate at 150%. Like, that's living. That's an invested life. That's fantastic. Gaining feedism is no different when you find a partner, whether it's someone who's in the community or outside of it. They're meant to add to your life, not take away from. And they are not meant to complete you. They are meant to be a wonderful addition to. They are not the foundation that you build your house on. They are not the walls, the windows, the doors, the floors. They are the gorgeous accoutrement. They are the dressings and the curtains and the cushions and the fixings and the furnishings that decorate the space and make it into a home. That is the major difference there.
Yeah, I will say like nothing about my gaining or like feederism journey has changed from being in a relationship with somebody who is in the community to like now, being single or whatever. Like nothing's changed. I'm not like, oh, well, do I not want to like gain anymore or oh, now I feel bad about myself or whatever. Like I'm still doing my same thing and like feeling good about it and whatever. And when you have that with somebody else, it's like even better and just a little bit different, but there's still like plenty you can do for yourself, you know?
No, I fully agree. I do want to ask it, like, is there an aspect about like feedism and gaining and dating that we haven't touched on yet that you think is good to bring up at this point?
I would just say, as a follow-up for my point earlier, being clear with your intentions or maybe even thinking about like what your intentions are before like starting to talk to people and whatever, because it's fine if you maybe you're just starting out and you haven't even talked to anybody else and you're like, I just want to like meet people and chat with them online. Fine, just know that. Or maybe I just want to meet up with people and do stuff, but like I'm not looking for a relationship or whatever it is. Just think about like kind of like what you want to explore. And then you can verbalize it to other people too, and you can get on the same page because I think a lot of times people are afraid that, oh, well, if you're looking for a relationship and I just want to hook up, I'm afraid to tell you that because you're not gonna want to do stuff with me or whatever. And it's like, I would rather somebody just communicate. So then it's like, okay, like, yeah, we can do that thing and like compromise, be on that level of like, yeah, let's like meet up, have fun, whatever. And then like setting the expectations or vice versa or whatever it may be. It's like better to just over communicate than just go with what you think the person wants to hear. Or maybe just whatever will get you off, but then not really respecting the other person and their feelings. So I would say just try to like self-reflect on what you're looking for. And then, well, one thing I wanted to touch on that I've been thinking about as you guys have been talking about different events and meetups is we don't really have that like on Phoebe or in like my circle or whatever. It's like either we're meeting up because we're gonna hook up, date, whatever. Or we're meeting up to make content together or whatever. Maybe like I'll hit somebody up and be like, oh, let's be friends or something, but it's never like an organized meetup of people from the community. So I think that might be something that's even harder for people because they don't have that community of like, imagine if I wasn't a creator and I didn't know anybody and I'm just meeting people for the first time. Like, it would be cool if there would be some kind of like, let's all like meet and get coffee or whatever.
That's so fascinating. Like, so
it just makes me think about like doing those kind of things, but.
That's really fascinating because, I mean, obviously Gromovs are just kind of par for the course, really. I mean, they almost are a meme of themselves, wherein it's like the type of people you can expect to show up and the expectations and all this. But I mean, yeah, I mean, ostensibly a Gromov is literally just someone who is an organizer and there's a process behind it. But like, you're an organizer and then you create an event and it's like, hey, everyone, I'm having an event in this town at this date at this time.
I'm having an event.
I don't know, because like I've done two Gromovs in the past and they both had pretty good turnouts, 50 plus. I was like, mind you, London, that was the chips were in my hands, let's be frank. But you know, it was still a very easy thing to organize. It was essentially, I in both instances had the free version and then the paid version. And the free version is like, listen, we're gonna go. Like, the free one was like, there's this big museum in central London called the Tate Modern. It's on the Thames. It is free entry, and it was just like, everyone come and meet at this time. And then it ended up being that people came in dribs and drabs, and thankfully I knew enough people there where I was like, listen, so and so, can you take this group of 20 people and just like walk them through the museum? And it ended up being quite a like a staggered situation. But then we had a booking at this nearby pub afterwards, and the people flooded it. They took every seat and they were all sat and ordering drinks and having a good time, and it just provided a social space where people could just come in and take over and do the thing. Same thing with the second one. It was a social out by the river, and then we went to a pub afterwards, and it was wonderful. Just the opportunity to be around people and to have a good time. And you know, we've talked about event drop before, where like, sure, you feel a bit of depression after you meet up with people, but like the highs that you can feel are incredible. Maybe that's a conversation we should have about like how to begin to create events for feeders, because I think that would slap, honestly.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in that. I'm just thinking, how do you filter out like the creepy guys? Or people that would make you
that's kind of because it happens at Gromovs too.
Okay, yeah.
So I mean, you kind of, it depends on what the event is, you know. So like you can, but you can pretty quickly figure out who you're gonna vibe with and who nobody is vibing with, and you can usually avoid that person, or you can always leave. But like, so like the situation could be different if like the Gromov is supposed to happen in like a private space, like an Airbnb where everyone's rented a bed, and like if they paid to be there, you know. But I mean, obviously if they were being toxic or violent or rude or whatever, it would be up to the host's discretion to be like, hey, we're not putting up with this. But if it's just going to be out in a public space, it's pretty easy to avoid the creeps.
Yeah, and public space is honestly a very helpful way, because a lot of people will go to these things thinking, oh, when's the orgy happening? But like, it's at a park, and they're going to be looking around awkwardly like, well, we're all just sitting here on the grass eating our little sandwiches. I guess there's no opportunity for me to get my dick out and be crazy. So, you know, like that's genuinely very helpful. But again, things in bars or things where there's money involved, it's always a little bit trickier. But there's also the responsibility of like being a host. Like if you decide, oh, I'm going to host this event, obviously then you're sort of shouldering the responsibility of like, if people get crazy, I guess I have to be the one to put my hand up and throw down and deal with this. But I think they're actually fraught with the opportunity of positivity. And I think oftentimes more people than not will walk into these situations with, oh, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Like, not benefit of the doubt. You know, where you walk into something with like expecting positivity or like good morals. Good. I don't know. I'm thinking of a phrase. It's not coming to mind. But I think a lot more people will walk in good faith. That's what I'm trying to think of. I think more people will walk into a situation like this with good faith than otherwise. And oftentimes if it's the first one, people come in with an excitement and an uncertainty. Like, I'm excited to be here because it's a thing. I don't know what kind of a thing it's going to be. And much like we've expressed before, like with you being on the podcast, like you end up becoming that person who has a chance to influence something by being there. There's a really cool moment where when these events first start to kick off and you're there on the ground floor, like you're there, you're participating, you're getting to know people, you're chit-chatting, having a good time. Like that positive energy becomes the influence that gives people the expectation for next time. Like everyone then has a great time and then it's so easy to go, oh my God, that was amazing. Should we do this again? Like, what should we do? Like, who wants to collaborate and like help me co-host next time and like make it into a thing? And there can be some really wonderful, chill ways of having these events that are fat friendly, fetist friendly specifically, without things getting into an inappropriate or an uncomfortable space. But do you know what? We can talk more about that on an episode talking about events or something, because I think that'd be really cute and we should do that. But that's it for another week here on the podcast. Phoebe Daddy, thank you so much for being here. You are such a star and we always love having you on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now, where can everyone find you online? And I do believe there's been an unfortunate change in social media situations recently. So everyone will write it out as it needs to be in the show notes. Okay. Mm-hmm. But where can people find you online?
It's usually FeedXMeXDaddy, Twitter, Tumblr, Curvage, OnlyFans, Reddit, and then my new Instagram is FeedXMeXDaddy with 3 Ys.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's it for another week here on Thick Radio. Please remember to like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a good review. Now, if you like this podcast or the episode or just us in general, share it with your friends and encourage them to tune in. You can find me on Instagram and Blue Sky at Stanham.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at Thicky Mouse. You can also look us up on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Thick Radio, or at our website at podpage.com/thickradio. If you want to submit a voice note or become a financial supporter of the show, you can find the links in the show notes, and you can also write to us at thethickradio@gmail.com. So until next time, bye fats.
Bye fats.
Bye fats.
Let's talk about it.
Thick Radio is a Patreon and Anchor app podcast produced by Stan and Vicky Mouse.
Mixed and mastered by Stan.
Our artwork is provided by Lokitu.
Our theme song is provided by Bonfire Cream.